For those who bleed silver and black, tune in weekdays at 2 for Silver and Black Today with Scott Volbrensen here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM, KRLV Las Vegas. Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today, powered by Salmon Ash Injury Attorneys, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what is right. Sam and Ash, good friends of the show, good friends of mine. Sam and I were texting last night, some funny stuff, some memes and the such. It was good times. And he's got silver and black fever, Evan. Sam is not a football guy. He wasn't until a little while ago. And so he's gotten so into the Raiders and started studying their history, all this kind of stuff. And I think when people do that, the history of the franchise is so rich that you just can't help but like it.
Yeah, that's great to hear, you know, because that was one of the concerns with people when the Raiders moved to Las Vegas. Would they be able to pick up new fans, and would it be a real true home field advantage? So it sounds like people are really diving into the Raider history, and they're gaining more fans. So that's great to hear.
Yes, and they are, of course, completely enamored, or not, I shouldn't say enamored. They now know the history of the Raiders and Patriots, and of course the Tuck Rule game, which is in the forefront of a lot of people's mind anytime these teams get together. But clearly, a long time ago, John Gruden was involved. So for him, it's a sore subject. He mentioned it in his press conference this week too, and again called it a fumble, which I thought was kind of funny. But we are going to look into the Patriots and see where they are currently. Of course, we've been talking this show about Cam Newton and what's going on in the talented secondary that Derek Carr will face. Now we go out on the phone line, our newsmaker line, and we bring in our friend Kyle Hightower. Kyle covers the Patriots for the Associated Press out there in Boston. Kyle, thanks for coming back on the show.
How you doing, fellas?
Oh, we're doing good. Ready for some football. Well, the Patriots off to a 1-1 start. Of course, that game up in Seattle, so entertaining to watch. Came down to the play at the end. Cam couldn't get it in, but Cam Newton had an amazing game, not just with his legs, as people like to always give him credit for, but he threw the ball all over the field as well, connecting with a multitude of receivers. And Julian Edelman has almost 100 or 180 yards on the day. Cam Newton seems to be in that zone. Kyle, when we talked to you a few weeks ago to preview the team during camp, you had said that he was feeling good, he was feeling comfortable. Has this marriage, made sort of out of necessity and opportunity, really worked, and is it going to continue to work well, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, all indications are that it will. I mean, I think that right now Cam's just having kind of a childhood-like, appreciation for football again that he hasn't had in a while. Obviously, the last few years there in Carolina were rough for him with the injuries and just how things ended for him there. But, you know, in New England, he's kind of found a place where he's getting to experiment again. He's getting to, get back to his roots, which is, be able to use his legs and make plays. And that allowed him to, to show that he can still throw the football, as you said. And, when you have weapons like, even though he's 34 years old, you have a weapon like Julian Edelman who's all over the field. It can, can stretch the field for you. Can show off your deep ball ability. He's there in the short yardage game. A familiar guy, Damir Byrd, who came with him from Carolina, who he knows. And some young guys, the Jacoby Myers of the world and the Kiel Harries of the world are there for him to kind of really, to get back to that youthful Cam Newton that we all saw and are appreciative of, and who won the MVP there in 2015. So I think he's really just enjoying the experience right now and enjoying playing football, which is fun to see.
Kyle, can you talk to us a little bit about the rotation at running back for the Patriots? I know that Sony Michel is the starter, but he's only got 17 carries on the season, and I see that Rex Burkhead has doubled the amount of snaps as Michel. What can we expect to see from the backfield of the Patriots this week?
Yeah, I mean, they're really hurting right now. I mean, obviously, Damien Harris was supposed to be, a big part of that. And, he's unfortunately, had some hiccups there at the beginning of the season. Sonny Michel's coming off of injuries, and, he still had a slow start. Rex Burkhead is not really every down back, more of a short yardage first kind of guy there in short yardage and there near the goal line. And of course, James White, you know, unfortunately, you know, his father passing away in a sudden car accident. You know, he's going to be out, likely this weekend. So it's just a tough road to the backfield. And, you know, obviously Cam Newton's picking up the load as much as he can, but that can't continue. There needs somebody to step up, and whether it's, you know, going very deep into, you know, and getting creative in the playbook or just kind of riding, Cam Newton even more this week, we'll see. But it's really put a definite crutch on them, and it'll be interesting to see how they do that rotation this week.
Kyle Hightower from the AP in Boston joins us. He covers the Patriots. And Kyle, as you heard, the Raiders are going to be without their young rookie speedster Henry Ruggs III, also still without Trent Brown on that offensive line. So no triumphant return to Boston for Trent Brown. But also, you mentioned the injuries at running back for the Raiders, but also we know David Andrews today, the center, was ruled out. Who do they have to slot in there for David Andrews? And has Cam Newton worked with anybody else but Andrews?
He's worked with a few guys just during training camp, and who you're probably going to see is the Danish sensation, if I get the name right, Hjalti Froholt, second-year guy that drafted in 2019 in the fourth round, I believe it was. He actually set out coming off injured reserve year. He set out on injured reserve last year, came back, and obviously had a kind of a weird offseason like everybody did. But he's been in the mix the first two games. He was active for both games, played mostly on special teams, no real rotation at the line, but he's the backup center for David Andrews. So all indications are he'll be in the starting job there on Sunday. And, just a young guy who Cam's obviously had to adjust to this week. David Andrews didn't practice at all this week, so it's all been, all backups this week rotating in with Newton. So he's got to look at a lot of different guys, a lot of different options to have there. But I would say Danish Froholt will be the guy in there at center.
Yeah, again, when we talk about this Patriots team, too, and that defense, like I think this is part of the issue for the Raiders. And Coach Belichick, I thought was extremely more talkative than usual when he talked about Darren Waller, which tells me he watched a lot about him. Of course, Coach Belichick is the chess master, and I'm sure he knows everything he can possibly know about Darren Waller heading in. But what are they going to do with that Raider offense with Waller there? Then, of course, you have the running back with Jacobs. How has that Patriots defensive line been against the run, and what might they do to control that line of scrimmage against the Las Vegas team?
Yeah, I think they got to mix some things up. I mean, they found out last week against Seattle that, they got caught in some bad situations, some running lanes, really got clogged up and left the middle wide open, which, Russell Wilson was able to pick apart. And they cannot let that happen again for another week, or it's going to be a long day for the Patriots. As far as Waller goes, don't be surprised if you actually see Stephon Gilmore, the Raiders defensive player of the year, get a few whacks at him. I know obviously it's a bigger matchup for him, but I think they just want to put their best guy, best on best, and see what happens and live with it. And obviously with some support from the safeties, it probably some different looks for some other guys rotating in at the other quarterback position in the secondary to help out. But they just don't have the guys in the middle, the big guys in the middle with Dante Hightower, taking the COVID opt-out. Mm-hmm. With even at safety, you talk about guys who are out, Patrick Chung. But as far as the defensive line goes, I think they're just going to they made some adjustments. They're going to keep going with what they know, though. I think they're going to try to put more pressure coming from the linebacker's position up front to help those guys. But I think their main concern could be able to not let those running lanes get open, not up front, and to not leave the middle of the field open like they did against Seattle.
Again, this is Kyle Hightower from AP in Boston. And Kyle, when you look at this game, how important, look, every game in the NFL, every team wants to win, there's no doubt. But with this team coming home after that close loss in a game in Seattle, how important is it for them to go out and not only win this game, but do so looking good and looking like they're going to be prepared as they get set for Kansas City?
Yeah, I think the stat is they're 46-9, I believe, since 2002 after a loss. This team is very, very good historically, bouncing back, from losses under Belichick. But I think you're right. I think that new quarterback, Brady gone, so many changes all over the field for them. for their own psyche, you know, going forward. I mean, they got Kansas City coming up right after this. For their own psyche, they're going to need, you know, a good showing, you know, against the Raiders. You know, they're going back on the road next week, like as I said, against KC. And I think you got to win your home games, really defend your home field, even with those fans in the stand. You know, and I think, just like I said, just for the psyche and, you know, for this team, you know, if they try to gel and try to coalesce around Newton offensively, it's a big game for them. And, you know, the defense got kind of beat up last week. That secondary got beat up like it didn't all last season.
Right.
So looking for a bounce back game. So I think it's a big game all the way around for the Patriots, and I think they're going to see their best.
Kyle, I know the strength of the Patriots defense lies in that secondary led by All-Pro Stephon Gilmore, but when you look at the Raiders and the matchups that they present, what other concerns do you have for that Patriots defense?
I think, you know, really it's the one-on-one matchups. I mean, Jason McCourty's been very, very good, you know, right alongside a Gilmore, but he doesn't have Gilmore's skill set. And I think there's just been times where McCourty's been kind of put on an island. So even if they, you know, neutralize, you know, Waller and everything that he does, if one of those receivers can, you know, can really pick on Jason McCourty, it's really going to be tough for that Patriots secondary. Gilmore is the workhorse. Like I said, Patrick Chung, you know, took the opt out. He's not there, you know, back there. Another big star alongside with Gilmore. They're both a lot of young guys. They have some good ones, you know, back there, you know, J.C. Jackson, you know, Jonathan Jones. You know, they have guys there who can step up. But, you know, I think if they can somehow just, you know, deal with not having Waller have a big spectacular game like they used to have had in the first 2 weeks, and really, you know, utilize some of their other weapons, they can really kind of maybe have a chance of attacking the secondary. But make no mistake, Gilmore's out looking for a bounce-back game. You've got Devin McCourty back there, who's always been strong, and he's been a kind of a ball hawk the last few years, trying to be able to get some interceptions. So they're going to be prepared.
All right, Kyle, before I let you go, now you talked about no fans in the stands, and of course, every part of the country is a little different. Is there any thought or any discussion that the Patriots may, in Massachusetts, may allow fans anytime soon?
I mean, they're slowly opening up the state. But, you know, Massachusetts, this cluster of states up here in the Northeast are very cautious. They've been like some of the most cautious in the state. As far as the restrictions go, we just went to a new phase in Massachusetts, but you know, they're still not allowing, you know, fans to the next phase. So they do the first two games and have no fans in the stands. The Patriots are hoping they can, you know, get to 20%, 20-25% at some point this season, but in the foreseeable future, it's going to be empty there in Gillette Stadium, which has been a big home field advantage for this team. And, you know, again, another quiet stadium like it is around the NFL, but for good reason, and we have to kind of wait and see how things, you know, progress, and hopefully they continue to move in the right direction, not only for Massachusetts, for the rest of the country as well.
All right, great insight there from Kyle Hightower on the Patriots. The Raiders, of course, heading out to Foxborough on Sunday to take on the 1-1 New England team. Kyle, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the game this weekend, and stay safe, my friend.
Thanks, guys, and watch out for the tuck rule.
All right. There you go, Kyle Hightower.
That's a low blow.
It's so funny, man. It's like, and that's the question, too, and I want to put this out there to callers. Call in at 702-365-9200. What does it take, Evan, for the tuck rule to be exercised, as in like exorcism? Like what is this? Is it another Super Bowl win? Is it beating the Patriots in a playoff game? What is going to, as a fan out there, you tell me what you'll never forget it. Of course, it's like the Immaculate Reception. It just, it happens, right? But how can it be exercised? Is there something? Is it the Patriots lose for 100 years in a row? What is it for you, Evan? What would you say?
Well, like you said, I don't think you forget some things. I don't know if you ever get over that one. That's like the one that got away. You know, you're always going to have that what if in the back of your mind. Like, what if that call went the other way? Now, I've learned to cope with that decision, but I don't know if I'm ever going to get over the disappointment of the scars that are, those deep scars. I don't know. I Tom Brady not being on the team, that helps. But as long as Belichick's there, you know, I don't know if I'll get over it.
That's it. And that was one of my questions, too, is it Belichick? Like, is Brady's gone, like you said. So one of the bad guys is gone. Now, Belichick, is still there. So is it after Belichick leaves, when he eventually does at some point, and they're a terrible franchise, is that when people feel better about it? Or do you just never feel about it? I want to hear what you guys have to say. It is a free-for-all Friday, 702-365-9200. And he's so itching to get back on the air. Gangsta Raider has called us because he wants to talk to Evan, I'm sure. Right, Gangsta?
Hey, what's
be
happening?
Nice. Be nice.
I wanted to say that I don't think y'all making a big deal. Don't realize how big a deal is that safety. I mean, the center being hurt is because not only does the center hike the ball, he also calls out the line assignments. And yeah, if he's not up to par, whatever the usual center is, and Cam is the first year in New England, so I'm sure he probably hasn't worked with probably only that center that had the surgery today. And so I predict that we win 34-17. And also I predict that Hunter Renfrow has a big game, and yes, Brian Edwards has a big game, and our defensive line should have a few sacks, and I predict a few turnovers just from the center quarterback exchange. And also I feel that in order to exercise what happened in New England, yeah, we got to beat New England every time we play them. We got to win the Super Bowl, and we got to beat Tampa Bay when we play them after the bye. You know what I mean? Because Tampa Bay still got Tom Brady. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was the quarterback who actually fumbled the ball. So we got to win this game. We got to win the Tampa Bay game, and we got to win a Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? And we got to beat the Patriots every time we play them. And they should have no more wins ever against the notorious, oh-so-glorious Raiders ever again.
All right, Gangster Raider, nice call, man. And I agree with you on the center. It's a big injury. It's one of those where you think about it and you're like, wow, it's huge, because you're right. Not only do they center the ball to the quarterback, but they run that offensive line. They're communicating all up and down the line. So, all right, we're going out to H in Albuquerque. H, you're on with Evan and Scott. What's up, my man?
Hey, what's up, Scott? What's up, Evan? But I think, like Evan already said, there is no getting over it, and the reason is because – I think the fans, that we've had several things happen to us like that. It's not just the Tuck game.
Yeah.
There's the immaculate reception. You know, there was the playoffs, I think, in 77 when we lost to the Broncos when the running back fumbled at the goal line.
Yes.
And they gave him the ball back. And there's also one that doesn't get talked about as much either. Is, to me, there was a period when John Gruden was our coach the first time around. I think there was like a 3-year period where we were one of the best teams in football. We were contending. But something always happened, and there was the game that we hosted an AFC title game against the Ravens. And Saragusa, to me, intentionally injured Rich Gannon when he pretty much fell on him. I mean, Saragusa came off the ground. It was like a WWF move. And there's no way that man that heavy could come off the ground like that unless he was doing it intentionally.
Yeah. No.
And that game always bothered me, too.
Well, and you're right. I think that is true. It's happened to the Raiders so many times. So there's a cumulative, I think, effect there, Evan. And we'll ask Fabian now, who joins us on the Raider Nation hotline. Fabian, you're on with Evan and Scott. What is it going to take to make the Tuck rule at least go to the back of your mind?
Well, Scott, first and foremost, and for everyone else that refuses to get it right, it's the immaculate deception.
There you go.
Deception.
That's how it's said in our promos, by the way.
It is in the promo.
Yes.
And talking about the 2000 AFC Championship game where I was at in Oakland, don't forget about the holy call on Brandon Stokely that was never called when Sharp was running down for the touchdown.
Yeah.
There's actually a photograph of that showing the guy grabbing onto Marcus Pope's jersey. But getting back to the matter at hand, how to exercise this? One, we scored 34 points like we've done the last two games. The D-line gets to chew up on their O-line because they're missing their center. Linebackers will be getting all over Cam. Our DBs will take care of Mr. Edelman. We get a good win over them, then the next time we play Brady, when someone sits on his chest, pounds him on the front of his helmet, which we can't really do because that would be a penalty, but basically for Brady to admit that he fumbled it.
Yeah, no, that I know that the several players have tried to get him to do that, and even John Gruden talked about it once as well. All right, Fabian, thanks so much, man. And of course, yeah, that 1977 AFC Championship game with the goal line fumble, that was incredible, because I believe that year, if the Raiders would have won that game, they would have gone on to play the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. That would have been epic.
Hey, Scott, can I add something real quick
to
exercising the demon? You know, if the Raiders were just able to win that Super Bowl the following year when they went back in 2002 when Gruden was the coach of the Bucs, I think that would have taken some of the sting out of what happened in the previous year, just because, you know, they had those great teams with Gannon and they just were never able to get it done. They came very close, and again, 2001 they were robbed by the terrible call, and then in 2002 they were blown out in the Super Bowl. So I think that plays a part in it as well.
Yeah, that's my contention, is that if the Raiders wouldn't have gone after 2001 and 2002, and of course the whole Barrett Robbins situation, all that stuff that happened with the Super Bowl, if that would have not led to, in essence, two decades of subpar football, then you're right. I don't think it would have mattered as much. If the Raiders were more competitive, if they had won a Super Bowl or had at least been to one and won some championships, then maybe it's not as bad. But we'll now go back on the lines. We'll ask Raider LaRue. Raider LaRue, you're with us here today. What do you think?
Hey, Scott, how's it going, man?
Good, buddy.
Hey, I honestly think, man, we beat Belichick this Sunday and hopefully get to the Super Bowl against the Bucks. And then sign Charles Woodson for one game.
Nice.
Get the W. Get the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
What do you think?
So you get it all done in 1 year by beating the Patriots in Foxborough. Then you beat Brady here, and you get to a Super Bowl and win it, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and try to sign Charles Woodson for the last game so he can get back at Tom Brady.
That's awesome. I appreciate it, Raider LaRue. We're going back on the line now to Joseph. Joseph, you're on with Evan and Scott.
Hey, fellas. You know, there's a lot of what ifs, right? And
yep.
So, you know, I thought about what you guys were discussing. So even a Super Bowl might diminish it a little bit, but even talking about it or even thinking about it gets me upset.
Yeah.
You know, because that really pissed me off, because this is the one thing that nobody ever talks about, is that there's a systematic bias against the Raiders. If you look at Monday Night Football, when that elbow hit Derek Carr in the head, they didn't make that call. Any other team would have gotten the call. Even the analyst said that on Monday Night Football, and the referee that came in and said that's a foul. And
yeah.
They got together, the referees got together and decided collectively we're not going to call the foul. So that really bothers me, because we have seen that, and I guess you guys reiterated some of those things, is that we do not get the calls. And that I remember vividly that Tuck Rule play, and I could see it in my head now as I'm talking to you. That really, really gets my goat, so to speak.
Well,
and I don't think any of us will ever get over it.
No, I appreciate that, Joseph. And I would tell you also, make sure, earlier in the week we had the Ethical Skeptic on, who did a whole study on the bias against the Raiders as it came to officiating. If you missed that show, just go to our podcast feed and you can hear the interview with him, because that's exactly what he says. All right, we're going out to Steven in New Orleans. What's up, Steven?
Hey, guys, how are y'all doing? Love the show. And been listening to you on Sundays for a couple of years over the web. And
oh, I appreciate
that. How you handled the whole transition to Vegas, and even Vinny from L.A. before he was with RNR was like really knew what was going on and the Raiders were going to make it to Vegas when all the tinfoil people said we wouldn't be there. So as a guy that travels to a few away games every now and then with my wife, I mean, and home games in Oakland, even though I feel sorry for the fans of Oakland, I love Las Vegas as a place to go see a game. Let me tell you where I was on the Tuck Rule night. I was in Birmingham, Alabama, working for a company that I necessarily didn't want to be working for. I was 30 years old, had worked all day. I'm in my basement with my wife and kids. They probably went to bed at the end of the game. I literally stared at a black television, in other words, turned off for an hour and a half, talking to myself. because I couldn't believe the robbery that had just the NFL had just done to us.
Wow.
Now, I don't know how many weeks later, but I think 4 weeks later, I came home, I put on ESPN, and I realized Al has traded John to Tampa. And yeah, we made it to the Super Bowl the next year, but maybe winning it helps you get over it. But I don't know if you get over it, but I will tell you this. There's sequences of events that happen that if they don't happen, you're not where you are today. So I'm grateful to have John as the man leading the organization from an operations standpoint, football ops, for the Raiders again. And I think about 3 Super Bowls in the next 6 years might help me get over it. But once again, guys, we really appreciate the show, and Raider fans everywhere are listening to your radio station, and we'll try to support the people that are advertising on you when we come in town for a game.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that that caller, you know, remembers exactly where he was at that moment, because I also remember exactly where I was. And I think a lot of people probably remember exactly what was going on at that moment. I was a senior in high school that year, and I remember being in my basement with a couple buddies watching the game. And, you know, because I was so young, it didn't have as much of an impact on me as it would now, because I'm just such a more passionate fan, and I'm more involved in it, living and dying by every game. But I do find that interesting that we all have our stories of where we were at that terrible, terrible moment.
Yeah, and Stephen in New Orleans, thank you again for your support, man. We appreciate the kind words. And yeah, you've been listening for a long time. Back when Vinny was a contributor on our show at the other station when he was still in L.A. So it's amazing how things come together when they're supposed to. But we're going to go out one more caller, and that is Snake Man before we hit a break. Snake Man, you're on with Evan and Scott. Good afternoon, man.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, Evan. Nice to talk to you, man.
How you doing?
So, good. So, you know, my recollection of that game, I was at my neighbor's house, and it was just hell, all hell broke loose, and I lost it. And if you recall, those were the days when we did not have the slim flat-screen TVs. Those were the days when you had a big-screen TV. It weighed about 300 stinking pounds.
Yes.
And I literally threw my cocktail through into his wall. The good thing is I missed the TV, but I had to spackle his wall the next day. So at least I spared his damn TV, but I was irate. So I remember that. And this year, it's like a steady exercising of demons, like Gangster Raider said. You know, we got New England this weekend. You know, a couple weeks later, we get the Bucks, we get Brady back, so we maybe exercise those demons a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree, and I see that, Snake Man. Thanks again, buddy, for the call. We always appreciate you calling
in. It's like checking off names on the hit list.
Yes, exactly. And you know, I didn't grow up a Raiders fan, so that the impact of that game on me is not like it is on you folks who are calling in as fans. But I can relate, too, because you mentioned Grote earlier playing basketball in Duke, and that made my skin crawl because I went to UNLV. I hate Duke.
Yeah, it's true. He was a point guard for Duke University, and we have his autograph at my house.
And he is now, as my good friend Coach Jim Bola, who played on the Pittsburgh basketball team back in the late 70s, is also the most winning coach in UNLV women's basketball history, texted me during that segment, said, oh, he does color analyst for Pittsburgh basketball right now. So there you go. So you're up to date on Dick Grote, which... there you go. That's an unexpected turn. But nonetheless,
fun fact.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we got a caller waiting, and we'll talk a little more about this game. By the way, 4 o'clock in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy. I will be sitting in for Vinny today, who's on a plane back to the East Coast to cover the game this weekend. So I'm looking forward to being on the line next to Lincoln Kennedy, much smaller. I'll be much smaller version of what he's used to sitting next to. But nonetheless, I look forward to talking to you guys in the 4 o'clock hour. You're with Evan Grote, Scott Gilbranson here on the Silver and Black today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
The autumn wind is a raider, and when it blows, it comes from the Las Vegas desert. Back to Silver and Black today, here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
See, you thought Q wouldn't be on the show. He's here in the form of music.
We got any Beatles, Chris?
Beatles?
How about the Eagles?
Yeah, play Desperado. No, we'll lose all the listeners. We are back here on the Silver and Black today, powered by Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys. 702-820-1234 is the call. You're with Evan Grote, Scott Gabranson, and we are talking Raiders football. We were talking about the Tuck rule. Of course, the Patriot game brings up all those bad memories. We were asking, what will it take for you to forget about, well, not forget about, but at least compartmentalize and maybe pack in the trunk of your subconscious so you don't think about it as much and minimize it for you as a Raiders fan? And we have Brian on the line. Brian's going to give us, how do you do it, Brian? Is it something you could ever get over?
No, never. Okay. Never, never, never. But what can help, though, is I see the Patriots losing their next three games. Yeah. So I have them losing. Well, they already lost to Seattle. They're going to lose to us on Sunday. Then they play the Chiefs next. And I think this is the end of their run. Their dynasty is over. And I believe our dynasty is starting to rise.
Nice.
So I also see us winning. I see us making a deep run into the playoffs this year and winning back-to-back Super Bowls next year.
Wow.
Derek Carr getting an MVP.
Wow. So you're all in on the Raiders and them winning quickly. Surprising folks going deep in the playoffs. I like that, Brian. Thank you so much for the call. Evan, I can't
say back-to-back Super Bowls?
He did. I can't quite get there. I still think that, not saying that they can't be beat, because anybody can get beat, I just think that you're a step behind the Chiefs still when it comes to overall talent. That does not mean the Raiders aren't ascending. I think the Raiders, all this talk this week in the national media, oh, the surprise 2-0 Raiders. Well, I don't think they're a surprise, actually. I thought that game against New Orleans at home, I initially thought that they could lose it, but then over time, as I watched the team, I watched them in week one come up big in a tough situation. I just felt like with the new stadium and everything that was going to be happening, that they were going to win that, especially emotionally. But, Evan, I don't think people should be that surprised that this is going to be a talented team. I don't know if it's a Super Bowl team, but I do think it's a talented team.
You know, I love the positivity of all the callers. You know, I love it, but I try to be more realistic, and that's not that I'm not trying to put anybody else down, but we cannot forget this team is still in the middle of a rebuild. 2 years ago they were 4-12. A season ago they were 7-9. They're off to a good start, but let's keep our expectations in check. Let's just get a win this week before we start predicting back-to-back Super Bowls.
Yeah, but you're right. I love the positivity, and it's about time. So many new starts here with Las Vegas, despite everything that's happened in the world. The fact that the Raiders have a home, they have a beautiful stadium, they have a great fan base that has stuck by their side through it all is amazing. All right, we're going out to Denver now. We're bringing in our good friend Raider Dave. Raider Dave, you're on with Scott and Evan.
Well, I'll let you know that the New England stuff goes way, way further back than just the Tuck rule. The only good thing that's ever come out of New England was Jim Plunkett. So there is that. But if you remember way back, and it's unfortunate about Daryl Stingley and all that, but, I mean, there's a lot of different things that have happened, and nobody would be talking about the 72 Dolphins if the Raiders didn't lose that one game that one year. I mean, they'd be the undefeated Kings ever since.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that people don't really remember that about the Raiders. They had such a juggernaut of a team. And I was a big Miami fan. I loved Greasy, Pastorini, Stabler back in the day. And I really respected what Don Shula was doing. But it would be all mum, all hush, had that not happened. And the other thing about the 3 years that the Raiders were in the AFC Championship game and they finally got through it when they had a home game, I think it was against the Jets or something, but it was Saragusa's smashing of Gannon that ended up, ending that game and, catapulting the Ravens into the Super Bowl there. And I think that if you get a chance to talk to Lincoln about it, I believe there was not a penalty on that play either.
Yes. Yeah, no, you're right. And you're right about the history of the Raiders and the Patriots. I mean, even when the Raiders did go out and play the Raiders like 76 on the way to the Super Bowl, right? The Raiders beat them. In the Patriots beat the Raiders bad in the regular season, but then the Raiders returned the favor in the playoffs when it mattered on their run.
Right.
And then if you go look at the Patriots, they actually beat the Raiders in 85 to go play the Bears in the Super Bowl. And that 84-85 Bears defense, that vaunted Bears defense, and of course Walter Payton in a close game in LA. And so that the Bears might have played the Raiders had the Raiders eked out another 8 points in that game. So the history's there. Now, Raider Dave, the one thing that's concerning to me is you looked at the record, and I know you listened to the show yesterday. The Raiders have only won two games in Boston since 1969.
Well, I don't know how early in the season any one of those are, but or when any of those games were, but I remember, like, yesterday the 51-3 drumming in the cold in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. I don't know that this team has ever been a late-season cold-weather team. So some of those that were losses back east could have been a little bit later in the season. That's not going to be the case here. And, you know, the negativity that's so deep-seated of we always get screwed. I mean, it's the fumble against the Broncos, the AFC Championship game. I mean, it's just so many different things, you know, where it just happens that way. And I'm a kid that was sitting in the end zone right in front of me. I saw the San Diego Chicken get a heart attack at the Holy Roller. It happened right in front of me. And I thought right then that we were done with the Immaculate Reception. Here's our break. We got away with one. But no, it's the Tuck rule after that, and a rule that's not even in the dang rule book anymore.
Exactly.
You know, it's so ridiculous how, you know, after Roselle handed that trophy to Al Davis, everything went out the window as far as zebras and the Raiders.
Yeah, you're right. Raider Dave always with well-informed, great, great calls. And Evan, I think this is what makes Raider football and Raider Nation such a rich group of people, because it doesn't matter what age you are, everybody has such a great grasp on the history of this franchise.
Absolutely. And Raider Dave brought up a really sour moment in my life. He brought up that 51-3 drumming against the Bills. That was one of my earliest memories of the Raiders. I was a young kid, and being a native of upstate New York, all of my relatives are Bills fans. I was at a family function that day. They're all wearing their Bills Zubas pants, and there I am as a Raider fan. It was a sad day for me that day.
Zubas. Oh, my gosh. We all had some. Let's not deny it. We're going back on the phone lines. One more call before we hit a break. It is Brian. Brian, you're on with Evan and Scott here on the Silver and Black today.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I just called. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
But I wasn't saying that the Raiders were going to win the Super Bowl this year. I was just saying that they were going to make a deep run into the playoffs this year.
And then
next year, I can see us winning back-to-back Super Bowls with going deeper, you know, getting better draft picks for the defense and so on and so forth. But if you guys remember, when Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl a few years ago, mm-hmm. they finished last in their division the year before.
Yeah.
And then they won the Super Bowl. Think about the 49ers, the same thing. No, they didn't win the Super Bowl, but they had the number one pick. They got Bosa. They went to the Super Bowl. There were, I mean, you guys have to, like, look at stuff like that. The Rams were in the same situation. Laughing stock, went to the Super Bowl. So it can be turned around after a year.
Yeah.
It really can.
No, I agree with you, and that's where the salary cap comes in. A couple key things, though, with that, Brian. Number one is the Eagles, I believe that year, too, and you can check me on it, won their division, right? So they don't have to win four games to get the Super Bowl. They have to win three. So I think there's some of those pieces that have to go your way. Not saying that they won't, but to me, what the Raiders have to prove, and they can do it this year. So they don't have to wait till next year. They can beat the Chiefs twice, right, and win the division. Okay, it's good.
I think they're going to actually beat the Chiefs. I'm sorry, Scott, but
okay.
I think they're actually going to beat the Chiefs in Week 5.
Okay, great.
I think they're going to lose. They're going to lose to Buffalo, I believe. Going in after they beat Kansas City, they're going to have their bye. That's how I see it.
Wow, if they do that, man, I'll tell you what, it's going to be rocking and rolling here in Las Vegas, and anywhere where there's a silver and black jersey, hat, or flag waving outside a house, people are going to go nuts. And Brian, I love your enthusiasm, man, and I hope you're right. I really do. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Evan and I will close it out. Don't forget, top of the hour, In the Huddle with Vincent. I say Vincent because the thing says that, but we all call him Vinny. Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy. I will be stepping in for Vinny while he's flying back to the East Coast. We'll continue the conversation there. You're listening to the Silver and Black today here on Raider Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Silver and Black Today. Here's Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
All right, we're back. Silver and Black Today, home stretch. Scott Gulbranson, Evan Grote sitting in for Q Myers, who's down at Jerry World in Dallas doing some high school football. If you don't know, if you've never been to Texas and you don't understand how big high school football is, yes, they play inside the Cowboy Stadium for big games. That's big time football down there with high school football. It is a religion in Texas, and that's just fine with me. You're back. We're taking your calls up to the end here, 702-365-9200, talking about the Raiders. You think they're going to win? Well, we asked on our Raider Nation debate up on Sided, the Sided app, which you can download on your Android or your iOS phone. We asked, will the Raiders win in Foxborough for just the third time since 1969 to move to 3-0? And we had late surge, Evan, since the last time we looked. The yes, they will contain Cam Newton and win have now pushed ahead 52-48. There is no Electoral College with this one, so the majority vote wins. So Raider Nation has spoken, Evan. They think the Raiders are going to win.
Hey, I'm with them. I'm with them. And I think containing Cam Newton, that's going to be a big part of the game. You know, can this defense remain disciplined in their assignments? You know, that's going to be a big factor.
Well, I'm interested, too, the offense. Look, Derek Carr is off to a great start. I'm not going to be worried about Derek Carr, but if they do neutralize Darren Waller, you have Josh Jacobs running the ball. You're going to need, I think, you're going to need Devontae Booker to run the ball well in reserve, because I think Jacobs, although he will play, he was banged up a little bit last week. And he even said it during his press interview this week. So that means to me you're going to have to spell him a little bit. So I think the backup running back, and I know Jalen Richard, everybody excited about, he comes back from that fumble, scores that big touchdown. But I think both those backs are going to have to get involved and spell Jacobs. But then you're going to have to have one of the wide receivers. And not just because he's part of our show every Monday, by the way, 13 minutes with Hunter Renfro. But I think Hunter Renfro is the guy that has to have a big game and will have a big game, because if they take Waller out of those routes on the outside over the middle, I think that's where you can have Hunter Renfro sit in single coverage coming over the middle in the routes that he's so good at, picking up 10, 12 yards at a time.
Yeah, look, someone's got to step up. Whether it's the rookie Bryan Edwards, you would imagine that they're going to try to shut down Waller, like you said. So, yeah, it very well could be a guy like Renfro. He has a very good relationship and rapport with Carr, so he could be the go-to guy this week for sure.
Yeah, I think you have that. And, of course, you have to be able to go vertical, but I think you can actually push the field vertically with Waller. If they're going to focus on Waller, then start lining him up outside and sending him down. And then, of course, Aguilar, Zay Jones, Bryan Edwards. That's the thing I like about this. And even though I've picked the Patriots to just eke it out, Evan, I do think this is going to be a very, very close game, and I think it's going to be a back-and-forth game. I don't think any of these teams are going to go out in front and keep leads for a long period of time. I think you're going to have to, if you're the Raiders, do what you've done the first 2 weeks of the season. You're going to have to sustain long drives. You have to keep Cam Newton on the sideline. Just like the same playbook you're going to have to use against the Kansas City Chiefs. You need to keep Patrick Mahomes next to Andy Reid and his Waffle House menu. You're going to have to keep him there, okay? So with Cam Newton, it's the same thing. Keep him on the sidelines with Bill Belichick, and you just increase every moment of time of possession that you're able to steal from the Patriots will be a better opportunity for you to keep him off the field, keep your offense on the field, and end with some points, whether they be 7 or 3. And I think that's the recipe. If they are going to win, that's how they do it.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Really, what you want to see is you want to see the Raiders take that same game plan from last week and implement it this week. They were able to control the clock, the time of possession. They were able to put up a lot of points. And that's what you want to see again this week. It kept Drew Brees over on the sideline.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I think that's the point, right? It's repeatable, but you're going to have to find new ways on offense. Look, Darren Waller could go out and have another big game. I don't know. But I do know that you give Bill Belichick time. He knows. He talked a lot about Darren Waller. I think that's a psychological thing. He's very good at it. He's also very good at scheming and shutting down players. The video that I tweeted out, I don't know if you saw, with him talking to Chad Ochocinco and him telling him pregame one day, yeah, we're going to double team you. It was great.
Yeah, I
man.
Saw that.
Yeah, it's good stuff. That's and funny. That's exactly what he does. He doesn't hide what he's going to do. But that gives the Raiders and their multitude of weapons that they have that they didn't have last year, they didn't have in 2018, to get out in front and try to do something again. I really believe it's going to be a good close game. And one way or the other, whether it's a turnover, a penalty, something like that, I think is going to be a big difference in this game, Evan. So it's going to be fascinating to watch. It'll be a great game. Early in the morning for us here on the West Coast, it's the early game, which makes it even better. I do know that Raider Nation will be watching. You can also listen here on Raider Nation Radio 920 and on our FM station 92.3 KOMP. The app, again, is live. You can check on the top of the Raiders mobile app. You can see the Raider Nation Radio button. The pregame will be streamed just like it was this past week with JT and the guys, so make sure you do that as well. Well, Evan, man, thanks for sitting in today. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on, and I hope I did Q proud.
Well, now also, but just so you know, Evan hosts the Just Pod Baby podcast, which you can find anywhere you get podcasts. And Evan, I know you had a podcast just come out today. Tell everybody what's on that podcast, and they'll go subscribe, I'm sure.
Yeah, I had two great guests. I had on a big-time Raiders film junkie. His name's B.D. Williams. Go out and follow him on Twitter, at BDWilliams18. He and I discussed the Raiders defense. And then I spoke with Jim McBride, who has been covering the Patriots for a long time for the Boston Globe, and he gave us a really good scouting report. So go out there and download it and subscribe, and you'll be all set for this weekend's game.
All right, there you go. And Evan is on the show every Thursday as well to talk about that, talk about everything that is Raiders. Evan, enjoy the game, and I am sure we will be texting about it during the game anyway, but take care of yourself. Have a great weekend.
You too, guys.
All right. Evan Grote, Just Pod Baby, has been my co-host for the day. Just a reminder, coming up next, In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy. I'm sitting in for Vinny, at least for the first hour, as he's flying back to the East Coast to cover the game for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. We'll talk to Lincoln about the Henry Ruggs injury, the continued Trent Brown situation, and how injuries impact the rest of the team that does play. We'll ask him those questions as well coming up next. So don't go anywhere. Of course, it is Friday of a game week. Make sure you stay tuned here to Raider Nation Radio. This has been Scott Colbranson for Evan Grote and our engineer Chris Chapman. We'll hear you next time on the Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. Take care, everybody. Kansas.